Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
Hey, what's good? We are back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to bring on one of my very favorite comedians out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, the one and only John Paul Edmondson. Let's get into it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. How you doing, bud? I appreciate that intro, man. Oh, dude, I'm doing great. I'm, you know, getting ready to go out and do some more comedy tonight. You know, always on to the next stop, you know.
Where y'all headed tonight?
We're going to Wilmington to hit up the Dead Crow. Me, Ryan Minton, Jeebus Christ out of Durham, and Topher Mack out here in Fayetteville, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun night. Last Monday, right? The Topher Cat?
Yep. He's a good dude. But he apparently did comedy like 14 years ago. He's getting back into it, and I think he's got he's a comic after my own heart, honestly. Like, he does a lot of the stuff that I do, and I like it a lot. Like, we have very, very cool, like, similar styles. I'm hoping to try to do a project with him that I'll hoping to announce with him sometime soon, but, you know, we're gonna see that. I'm sorry. This is my first interview,
done an interview?
Yeah. No. I've done a podcast before, like forever ago, back when I was trying to do some stuff on the internet, but realized after I did it that I can't edit. So that was super fun. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, who the fuck is going to edit this thing? I can do a swear.
Yeah, go ahead, man. We're not PG-13.
Yeah, but I was like, who was supposed to edit this thing? And then I was like, oh man, I would probably be the one to have to edit it, but no, man, but I really appreciate you having me on. Sorry it's been so long to get this thing actually done. I just wanted to have something to plug, really. Because I've not been doing this almost about a year and a half now. I did music I started doing music when I was 16. Did music till I was about 26, on and off. Then got into comedy at 33. So, you know, like, it's been a completely different world, completely different environment. It's been a whole lot of fucking fun. And, like, as long as I'm having fun, I'm going to keep doing it. So, like, no matter what anybody says, like, that's the biggest thing I've heard is, like, as long as you're having fun, do it. You know, do it. Like, that's, and I'm having a blast. Like, I'm, like, I love just making people laugh, doing voices, making silly faces of people, like, you know, like, you know, whatever. Like, it's just my, it's my bag. It's been my bag since I was 5 years old. Really?
So, God, man. Let's start with the correlation and the difference of trying to make it as a musician and trying to make it as a comedian. I think they're somewhat similar, but I think musicians get to a point where they overvalue their work too early before they have a consumer base or a fan base. And comedians,
for sure.
Comedians seem to not be have a problem with doing open mics like constantly.
Oh no, because like with comedy, like, it's just you, so you don't have like that brain trust of, like, say you're in a 4-member band, you've got 3 other guys who are like, granted, you are the only 4 who have heard that music, but to you, that's your baby, you know, that's your child, that's the thing you made together, so like, you want to be very particular about how you put that out into the world. But like with comedy, it's like, if you're not putting it on the internet somehow, then like, if you're not making like TikToks or, you know, reels or whatever, like, then you've got to hit the open mics. You got to do it. Like, there's no, I mean, it is the same like rudimentary thing as it is with like doing music, but like with music, you can bring the band to the house and you can do all your practice in there. You want to do comedy, you got to practice in front of a crowd, in front of other comics, in front of anybody. Like, to be honest, when you're doing comedy at an open mic, you're typically just in front of like 5 other comics. But if you can pop 5 other comics, then, you know, you've got something, you know, that's the biggest thing. But like with music, it was just like, you sit there for months and months and months, you probably work out 5, 6, 7 songs, you know, that's I don't know. That's if you're doing good, you know, even yeah. like, and, but if you're doing like, if you, I'm trying to think, I'm sorry, I'm a little rambly, but like, you know, but like with comedy, like I know with me, I started writing shit as soon as like, anytime I think of something funny, write it down. Doesn't matter how funny it is. If it's an idea, write it down, get the idea, eventually tell it on stage. Like, you know, so it's like, and you're looking forward to doing that as soon as possible. With music, you do want to play it as soon as possible, but you also want to play it in its best form as soon as possible. That's the thing. So really, and it's a very similar thing to comedy. It's just comedy. I feel like you have to bring it to the people faster than you did with music. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Now, like you gotta mics, like what's the difference? Like mm-hmm. you're like you said, there's a lot of comedians there. Is it make it harder because there's other comedians there? Is it harder to get them to laugh? Or
I don't know if it's harder to get other comedians to laugh. Like if something's funny, it's gonna make somebody laugh. Like really, that's the thing. And realize, like really, you got to figure out. I think what I've had the biggest, like one of the biggest hurdles I had early on was figuring out how to present what I think is funny as funny to other people, you know, like, and really for me, I know one of the first things that got me really comfortable was doing the Macho Man voice. Cause I used to do, you know, I used to do that. That used to be like a closer for my set and I'd get in there and I'd tell people, yo, you know, I'd start just doing the Macho Man, you know, cause I've been doing voices for years and years, man. Yeah. Yeah. And then you build up the little cream of the crop there. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but like for me, it's like, I was talking to the lady that does the marketing for Patty's, Tammy. She's, great lady. She gave me the costume for the leprechaun thing that I did at Patty's Pub this for St. Patrick's Day. I dressed up as a leprechaun and farted around with people and just, you know, but like when I was in costume, when I'm in costume or doing a silly voice, all inhibitions are gone. So I've been trying to work on getting all those inhibitions away for me, John, you know, John Paul, like JP, whatever, good old, like, and it's been doing good. Like people keep fucking telling me, I'm glowing up and I don't mean to fucking self-flate, you know, but goddamn, it feels good when people tell me that. Like, it like really feels like the work I've been trying to put in has been paying off. And now I've got 4 shows coming up this month, you know? So like, I've got, you mind if I do a plug real quick?
Go ahead.
You mind? Okay, cool. So I got, April 6th, this Saturday, got coming up in, Creedmoor, it's a show with a whole bunch of great comics, hosted by Slim the Comedian, fantastically funny comedian. He's honestly just, I've watched him, like he started after I did and got funnier faster than I did. And it pissed me off like a motherfucker, but watching that dude just keep getting funny and it's fucking great. And like my buddy DeMarcus Gray is going to be on there, Gray's Own Comedy on Instagram. He's going to be at that show. And so I'm excited for that one. I'm hosting Comedy and Cocktails at Patty's on the 18th. Oh, even more important, I'm hosting White Rabbit next Monday. Hosting that open mic just before there's a preliminary to get ready for the other one. Ryan's going to let me.
You're hosting next Monday?
So, yeah. Ryan's going to let me get a practice host in. Oh.
So, is Ryan not going to be there?
No, he might be. I don't know if he's going to go out of town. I know, like, me and him are kind of like, you know, he's my road dog. So, like, anytime we go out of town together. I think he should be. He should be. Did I mute myself? No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he might. If he's not, then I'm not, you know, like, but like, because like I said, me and him usually, we usually ride out together. So like, you know, this motherfucker, let me tell you about this motherfucker riding on the road. And he said he wanted me to talk about him. So I'm going to. This motherfucker, when we're going somewhere, the car does not start until the GPS is on. Then what he'll do, like I'm sitting there holding the GPS in my hand the whole time. And then I'm like, we're about to get to the pivotal part where all the turns and shit have to happen. Let me tell you, I'm like, okay, you got to turn here. Oh, where are we going to go? Turns the music all the way up to max. Like, and it's like, I'm like, we got to take a right here and then take another. And it's like,
no. You got to, well, no, this is just, where's the GPS?
Dude, this motherfucker. He's good dude though. Good guy. He's honestly, he's the reason I'm doing comedy. Ryan's the one who we met on a fucking, Twin Peaks Facebook group. Like we were both just like sharing memes in there. And then like, we were both from Fayetteville. Holy shit. And then I saw him doing comedy 1 week or like I started, I think a month after him, like he started doing comedy and then he was like, man, write some jokes down and come out and do it. And bro, it's been nonstop ever since. Like it's, I had like, I think January was probably my weakest month, but that's like for turn of the year shit. And I was just, wasn't getting laughs, was feeling real low about myself. And then February turned in. I had a to-do list of shit I wanted to accomplish in February, just tighten up my set, get more, you know, get out more, do more shit. And then, dude, it's been happening, man. Like, things are just like, once the ball starts rolling, it won't stop. It's fucking aggravating. Oh, fuck, my cat just came in here. Get off of there, you fat shit. Come here. No. Fuck, sorry, my fat
shit. So how long have you been doing the voices?
Voices? Oh, dude, okay. Let me tell you, I wanted to do voices since, like, that was the first thing I really wanted to do. Like, honestly, yeah. Voice acting was my first passion. But being a giant pussy that I was early in my life, I was like, had to travel to Raleigh to talk to a manager about it. Never did that travel to Raleigh. So, but like, I've been doing voices since I was a child, like 5 years old. Like, you know, like, I remember it was Robin Williams in Aladdin. Like, Robin Williams and Aladdin is what got me. Like, as a kid growing up, like, that was all, like, he was the end-all, be-all. He still basically is, like, probably one of my biggest influences in comedy. But comedy voices everything. It's like, dude, that dude was everybody. What can I say about Robin Williams that hasn't been said? He was a typhoon of fucking personality. And, like, this, he really got me doing that shit. Like, got me into fucking, you know, doing the Peter Lorre or the Jack Nicholson or whatever. You know, come on, Carly. You got to get on. Paul, we got to do the interview. You know what I mean there? Yeah. Or just like, oh, man, that's no, man. Like, he, the depression. I honestly, that was just, I can't even think. Like, I'm really good with accents. Like, I've been doing accents and shit for years. And, like, a lot of it, like, hilariously, the reason I started doing music was because I had no singing voice originally. And my singing voice was just mimicking other musicians. And so, like, initially when I started doing my first band, I sounded a lot like Maynard from Tool, like Maynard James Keenan from Tool and Perfect Circle and shit. But like, that was really like, I was like mimicking music, mimicking voices people would do. Like, I've been a mimic my entire life. So like, so don't open me because there's teeth inside and I will, you know, eat. but it's been like, I can't even think. Like, what really got me drawn to it though completely was, cause it was always a thing early in my life, comedy, voices, all of it. And then, when I was in middle school, I was homeschooled, which explains a lot of the issues I probably have, you know, socially. A lot of what I would spend my time on was old time radio shows like Jack Benny. The Jack Benny show was one of my favorite fucking shows just of all time. Jack Benny is one of the funniest people of all time. And he barely ever had to say anything funny. Like he was one of those comedians who would let everybody around him be funny and then just shit on him, you know, but it was funny though. They would shit on him or like, then you've got like Red Skelton, who I feel like was like, Robin Williams probably had a whole lot of fucking influence from because Red Skelton was a king of pantomime, silly voices, just being silly in general. And then like fucking Bing Crosby, like the Bing Crosby show. That was another one I would listen to. You know, you got Bing. Hey, baby, it's me, Daddy Bing. And I'm going to sing you a song and we're going to have a little radio program. Okay. Okay, baby. But like, no, it sucks though. In 2024, people don't know who this shit is anymore because it's almost 100 years old. So I'm just like, holy shit. So when I find somebody else who knows the references I'll make sometimes, it just blows my mind. Like fucking, I do a bit now where I'll like dress in my suit and I'll do a Jack Benny voice. I'll do a Jack Benny impersonation. And it's, well, you know, you don't say anything funny. You just have weird inflections. Or then go right into Ed Sullivan after that. Like, yeah, you just got to bring the shoulders up and you have a really big show. You know, the Doors. Or some shit, I don't know, man. But it's like voices have always been my thing, and like I used to have a bit where it's like I used to be I'm a failed voice actor turned failed musician, and now I'm working on becoming a failed comedian. So you know, when this doesn't work out, I'll go again to try to be a failed voice actor again. You know, whatever. It's a never ending cycle, I feel like. But now with comedy, I didn't realize that this was the avenue to do music. Like, I mean, with me, like, I do song parodies on stage sometimes. I have, like, a parody of the Wellerman I do. I have, like, I can do the stupid talent to make any song gay. for no reason. I can take a pop song and make it about sucking dick. Like, I'll do that occasionally. That's a good filler for a set. But, like, I've been trying to work in just, like, all of my idioms and all the things I love into doing comedy. And it's just, I'm just having a fucking ball, really. Like, that's the long and short I can say about doing comedy, is it's a fucking blast. Like, and it's traveling, meeting new people, fucking doing cool podcast interviews with Paul Pickett podcast on, you know, fucking,
appreciate it.
It's a fucking, it's been a time, man. And it's been nuts. It's been fucking, I'm overwhelmed, honestly.
It's gotta be a good feeling to make people laugh, right? Like,
bro, okay. So I'll tell you this. Like, I've never told it on stage, but I tell some people this, my first time I'd ever tried comedy. Cause like, I was the class clown and growing up, you know, like I was the loud kid, the kid who probably should have been on fucking Ritalin way too early, but didn't, you know, like, but so ever since I was a boy, you know, people would tell me, you're funny. You should do comedy. You should do stand up. So I tried it when I was 19 years old. Motherfucker, God. I was so cocksure about it. I had no material. I had like three things written out on my hand. Like, you know, like three things. I was like, I'm going to talk about these. I'm going to be funny. I can do that for 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever the thing was at the time. And it was at the new rock shop that no longer exists, but it was at the bigger rock shop downtown Fayetteville. All my friends were there. Like, it was a fucking like packed fucking room. I was wearing I'm wearing a V-neck now. I was wearing a deep blue V-neck or dark blue deep V-neck. So the V-neck came down to about here. Like, my tits were fully like ready to pop out. I had a scarf on. I had a waistcoat, you know, one of those little suit vests on. I had my hair all long and blonde. I had some tight pants on, a scarf. I think I said that. I went up there, but by the time I got a little high, I got a little drunk. And then by the time I had gotten up there, I'd gotten so fucking nervous from doing my first time doing stand up. All I had written on my hand was Goku.
It sweated off.
Like, I had, so I was going to say something of Goku, and I was just sitting there like this the whole night. Like, you see how I'm like, if you watch this back, you'll see me. I'm sitting here fucking with my hair the whole time. Like, you know, but I'm just sitting there. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. Oh, and then just Goku written on my hand. And so I'm sitting up there almost in tears. Like, I guess I was going to say something about Goku, and everybody's just like, I kept trying to get through it. And everybody's like, you're doing great. Oh, that was funny. You know, like the saddest, most humiliating thing you could do. So I was like, I made it through the first worst bomb I could ever do. So, you know, 14 years later, try it again, you know, like, hey, like, why not? Let's get it. So I had to let 14 years of that first initial assault and battery I did on myself, like, because like, I've never had a bomb worse than that first one. Like, I've bombed, like, I've had some nights where it's just like garbage fire, you know, I'm like, oh God, nothing hit. But nothing has ever hurt worse than that first one, because like, I feel like there's just nothing worse than all of your friends being like, you're so funny, now go be funny. And then you get up there to be funny and they're just like, no, stop. Ooh. Or like that fucking, the memes. Oh, what's that, brother? Oh, brother, what's that? Oh, no, it's that shit, dude. That's fucking, cringy shit. I went back to doing music for years after that. I was like, no comedy. Comedy's not for me. I'll just tell my dick jokes in the van, you know? That shit was so, it was crazy, man. Like, but like, so I've had the interest to do comedy has been there forever. Like, I remember, I think one of the first like comedy specials I was there. Can we still talk about this? Yeah. One of the first comedy specials I ever was really aware of. And my favorite, probably was one of my favorite ones previously, was Bill Cosby himself. But, say what you will about the man. That album is funny regardless of everything that happens. God, whatever. But, that's an album that I still think is one of the funniest albums of all time. It does make you read between the lines with it when you're listening to it now. But like that album is one of the ones that got me into it, because he was doing voices. He was doing all this silliness. Yeah. Like, and that's one of the things I really think a lot of, I don't want to say this like a pretentious asshole. I don't know shit about comedy. Like, that's my first thing. I know what I think is funny, but I feel like a lot of people leave silly on the table. Like, they just forget to be silly. And like, I know that that's not some people's style, to be a silly comic. But like for me, if I'm not being silly, then I'm gonna have a panic attack. Like, you know, basically that's the long and short of it. Like, it's, I don't know. I really wish more people would just be less afraid to be more silly. Cause I feel like the more silly people we have, the better the world would be in the end. We don't need stupid. We need silly. Like, the world has enough stupid in it right now. We need,
it does.
Need more people, right? We need more jocularity, if you will.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah, dude,
Is there any topics that you would never discuss in comedy that you just are
on stage?
Yeah, is there any topics
that are off limits? I mean, well, for me, like, I mean, off limits, no. There's stuff I'll touch on, but it's like putting the toe next to the line and then being like, oh, I'm not going to, like, you know, like you're doing like the whole, nope, like that kind of thing. Like, you know, like, because I don't like the term punching down, because I think it's kind of overused at this point. But like, I love punching down at myself. Like, I think if I'm going to tell any sort of anything that's going to be against, that could be taken as against somebody, I find a way to direct it towards like myself. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't mind self-deprecating humor. And I feel like there's just a lot of, like, I know it's a lot of people do that kind of shit. And like, it's just for me, like, I know that I'm a fucking middle-aged white dude. Like, you know, like, I know white privilege exists. Like, I've been pulled over, had a fucking bowl right there. A cop was like, looked at the fucking card I had in my hand, which was a permit at the time. He looked at it and he said, "Have you been drinking?" "No." "Have a good day, sir." Like, smelling like a pound of reefer, you know? So like, I know like these things, and like with the whole, after, you know, everything, like, I feel like there are touchy topics that other people can say better shit. Like, other people can, if somebody else can say it better, then I won't say it, you know, basically.
Let me ask you this,
like,
though,
like with trans jokes, race jokes, for the most part, I try not to. Just
do we know,
because I feel
that
like
you get pulled over and the guy letting you go, do we necessarily know that that's white privilege, or he might not have wanted to did the paperwork?
It could be. I mean, I don't know, but like, that was when white privilege was become, like, everybody was talking about white privilege.
Talking about it.
And so, like, it was just, like, that was, like, the first example that became, like, I was cognizant of. You know, like, I feel like, I don't know if it was, but it sure fucking felt like it to me. You know, like, okay, another cat. All right, that's fine. But, no, cat. Sorry, my cat's coming in here yelling at me. Oh, God. Got three of these motherfuckers, and now this one's like, hey, you're in the spot where I sit on you and rub you. You rub me. Oh, God damn it. Sorry. But, like, and like, my biggest thing is I'm uninformed. I don't know politics. I don't really give a shit, because like, unless it's affecting my family, because I feel like politics are just meant to divide us. And
they are.
I don't
think
we should be divided as a people.
They are.
Like, because like, we're all the same fucking biological thing deep down. But I also don't think that we shouldn't be able to laugh at each other, because like, I want you to laugh at me. Let me laugh, you know, like, I'll point out all the reasons why you should laugh at me. Like, that's that's why I'm so afraid to do a roast battle, because like, or any sort of roasting kind of thing anyway. It's like, because I feel like I could do it, but I would just spend so much time roasting myself that they wouldn't have a chance to roast me, you know? Like, I'd be like, yeah, I got the big nose and the small dick and the fucking asthma and the, you know, all this stuff. Like, God, it's just, what possibly
you
more could you say to me? Yeah, I got no money. Say what?
Yeah, you wouldn't leave no room to roast you. You'd be roasting yourself and
exactly. You know. Yeah, no room. I would be too busy filling the roast fucking oven with my dumb ass, you know, like
roasts are pretty funny.
Oh, dude, I love watching them. Like, if it was a person, like if it was just roasting one person, I could probably sit down and write some material, but if it's a roast battle, nah, I'm fried. It's over for me. Like, somebody else with too much speed is going to get me, and then I'm going home crying. I'm too sensitive, man. I don't like it when people make fun of me. It just hurts me. It hurts me deep down. Can't we just all be nice to each other? You know what I mean? Like, I just want everybody to be nice to each other. But God, I don't know. Like, yeah, go ahead.
How do you practice material when you're not doing open mics?
make sure I don't have any of my kids or my wife in my house, because I could do a fucking however long I need to in front of the biggest room of strangers, people I've never met. I could do that all day. You put me in front of my wife, I'm going to sit here trying to tell jokes to her sitting like this. Oh, you know how you can make that joke better? You know how you can make that joke better? Isn't that better? It's like the old Patrice O'Neal bit. It's like, ain't that better? Ain't that better? No, oh, yeah, bitch. No, yeah, it's not funnier. You like, stop explaining the things. Oh, God. So, sorry. So, but, you know, it's like, but I'll usually, I have a voice recorder on my phone. And usually for what I'll try to do is I'll have it written out and then I'll run it through at least one time, time it out, and then just listen back to that over and over again and then go over it several times. God damn it, Kitty. You make it look like there's 800 cats running back and forth. No, it's just one, I promise.
The cat just gave you dap.
The cat just gave you dap. You heard me talk on stage about D the bitch. As this bitch. I call her D the bitch because she's a bitch. Oh, she's looking at me all mad. Never mind. Get out of here. Go on. Shoot now. Shoot, Kitty. Get on out of here. You're distracting me. Sorry about that. But,
so, yeah,
let me ask you this.
And I'm hearing some feedback going on right now. I think the audio.
Yeah. I think my headset disconnected. Okay. Is it working now?
Yeah.
No, your audio's coming out of my phone again.
Oh, it's still coming out.
It's still coming out, yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. What's my headset? Ah, farts. No! Sorry, it's my Bluetooth head.
You're good.
Well, shit. I don't know how to fix this. Let me go see if I can grab my headphones. Some actual good headphones I can plug in.
Alright, hold on.
I think we're good. I don't hear it.
Say what?
Oh, never mind. I can still hear it.
Okay. Head six. Damn it. Continuity. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. Oh, God. That's a lot better now, too.
So we still got a few minutes left. I want to ask you another question, though. Who's your favorite person, like, locally in Fayetteville, as comedian-wise?
In Fayetteville? Comedian-wise. Okay. I don't know if he lives in Fayetteville. I think he does, but it's probably a tie between Slim the Comedian, who I mentioned before, because Slim, motherfucker, funny as hell, and Jalen Montanez. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's got like, I don't know if they're dreads or braids, little mustache. He's a funny fucking dude. Like that dude. Yeah, dude. He's only been to the Rabbit a few times, but like that dude, he's out there working, like, you know, he's out there getting the fucking doing the thing. And that dude, he's got funny shit on Instagram, fucking funny as fuck. I wish I could remember his Instagram handle. I'd plug him real quick, but Jalen Montanez. Yeah. That's probably my favorite from Fayetteville. Probably my favorite North Carolina, honestly. Cause like, he's just the way his delivery is one of my favorites out of anybody. Like if you ask Taj Jones, they'll say I'm wrong. Cause Taj Jones and him have this fucking beef or what, whatever, but yeah, dude, like, this is delivery. He's got a fucking, first time I ever saw Jalen, he had a fucking notebook, big fluffy pink notebook with a unicorn, and this dude, his face looks perpetually angry, like he's got like a kind of face, but like he's just reading jokes, well, not even reading them, like he's got his jokes in this fucking pink notebook with a big fluffy unicorn on the front of it, and I'm like, just that visual alone was one of the funniest things I'd ever fucking seen in my life, you know, because he's got like, God, like, yeah, but he's like him. Ryan fucking is one of my, like, he's my boy. Like he's been doing some shit and I've been watching him fucking grow like a motherfucker. Like we've been watching each other, you know, back and forth, but he's getting up there, man. Like he's getting some shit going to pretty soon too. I think like, I actually think he just told me he was hosting a show that I'll let him announce himself. But, you know, like, it's, God, dude, like, let me think. Who else? Dude, there's just so fucking many. There's so many good fucking comedians that I've met. One of my, damn it, DeMarcus Gray, Gray Zone Comedy. He's like that dude. I watched that dude sound going from like sounding like Dave Chappelle, like when he was in his 20s, to sounding like one of the most angry, confident motherfucking people on stage. Like this dude, DeMarcus, will get on stage and be like, yo, you want to hear these fucking jokes? And it's like, but it's funny. Like, it's not like, you know, like, but it's like a funny aggression that he's got that it comes out of nowhere. Cause it's like when he's hosting, he's almost the like whatever, you know, like the more lighthearted, like a host. But then when he's on stage, dude, that dude, God, he's a fucking beast. Like those four, I'd say Slim, DeMarcus, Ryan, and Jalen, probably my four favorites in from the area. But I hope nobody else who hears this and disagrees. If they do, fuck them. Fuck them. They ain't fun. No, admit, no.
I do have to admit, both times I've been to the White Rabbit, I've seen about two or three females there, and both of them have been pretty funny to me, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw Crystal. Oh, fuck. Oh, out of towners. Crystal Moe is probably one of the fucking funniest comedians, let alone being a female in North Carolina. Like, she's funny as shit. Tim Pridgen. I almost forgot about Tim. Tim Pridgen. Fucking, what's this show? The Jiffy Show on fucking Instagram. He's fucking, that dude, he's got a mean Stone Cold Steve Austin impersonation. He's got a Chazwick Boseman. Like, for the most part, he does clean material, which I like, and he hangs out with us, you know. Yeah, for the most part, he does, like, he's pretty much like a clean comic. Like, he'll, when he gets the spirit in him, you know, you can see, like, he'll drop the N-word occasionally. And I'm like, whoa, Tim. Like, that's when you're like, whoa, preacher. Like, that's like hearing the pastor fucking curse on you, you know? Like, it's so funny. But I've said, like, I was raised in the church, and I've seen Christians and how they act, Christians. If I ever had to point to a real Christian person, it's Tim Pridgen. That dude is a... If I ever had to point to a man of God, I'd be like, Tim Pridgen. It's him. It's that guy. He's the one. Like, he's the guy who, if I ever wanted to give an example of a shining beacon of how you should act as a person, Tim Pridgen. Let's see, who else? Oh, another one. Newer. I've been traveling with him a lot, too. Caleb Fulmore. He's been a fucking, like, he's a... He does, like, kind of one-liner kind of material, but, like, he's grown a whole lot. Times? Like, and just... No, I don't think so. No, he lives here in Fayetteville, I think. No, Antoine. You're thinking of Antoine.
One time that was very, very funny.
That's Antoine Norwood. Yeah. That's Antoine. Yeah, Antoine's good as shit too. Yeah. God, see, that's a loaded question. Now I feel like, because I didn't say any of them were my favorite, now I feel like an asshole. Because the true answer is I'm my favorite comedian because I'm a narcissist, just like every other comedian. I'm a narcissist. I'm needy. I'm the best. But really, like everybody, like my favorite comedians are the people I've seen grow and then get better. Go on, bud. Go on. Love you. Sorry, that's my kid. He's like, oh, dad's doing an interview. Gotta, like, he's, my kids have been super excited for this whole me doing stuff thing, but they want to be a part of it, but at the same time they're like little nervous Nellies where I'm like, hey, do you want to be in a video with me? Oh no, I hide, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine, it's cool. But nah, man, but dude, there's just like, really, there's so many great talents in Fayetteville. Like, and I remember when we were started doing comedy, like me and Ryan would started going out, you would hear, oh, they're Fayetteville comics, oh, they're from Fayetteville, oh, Fayetteville. You don't hear that shit anymore. Like, it's funny. Like, you hear, oh, these guys are from Fayetteville. Fayetteville's a trouble town, but you don't hear Fayetteville comics anymore, which is something I'm really appreciative of because, like, for me, like, it was almost like a stigma. I was like, what the fuck did we do? You know, like, we're just some guys. Like, we're, granted, we know.
It wasn't y'all. It was like the rappers. It was us rappers, man. We went out of town and we started trouble. Every time we start trouble, we like to say, Vietnam.
That's the thing, man. Oh, that was the thing. Oh, man. I remember we used to, at the Red Monkey, the spot we started at, me and Ryan started at, well, the mic where I started at. That's the first place I ever did. It was this thing where we would always, when somebody got on stage, we'd go like, I know him. And then we did that shit out of town once, and oh, we got chewed out. Everybody's like, nah, y'all can't do that shit anymore. So, doesn't help that we come in rowdy and excited. I'm sorry that we're the only ones excited to be at your mic, you know? Like, hey! But no, not anymore, though. Like, everybody, like, We've been hitting up a lot of Raleigh lately, and we've been trying to, I know me and Ryan particularly, we've been trying to go out to Greensboro more. Like, this is our second time going out to Wilmington this afternoon here, and I'm actually got to leave here in like fucking 40 minutes to go do that shit. But, yeah, man, like, we've just been trying to get all over North Carolina, man, because, like the spot in Jacksonville, out at Hooligans, that's always a great mic. Patty's, like, fucking, like, I don't know what the hell happened, but, like, I've become a mainstay at the Patty's Thursday open mic stage, and that's been a big honor to me, honestly, just because, like, I remember going in there, it's a bucket pool, so, like, you know, it's, like, it's partially luck, partially fucking just able to be funny. And like, I know for me, like when I got a big room of people and they're all looking at me to be funny, like that's the only thing I feel like I can do at the time, you know, like no matter what mood I'm in, no matter how fucking shitty I'm feeling beforehand, like the nerves start pumping like 5-10 minutes before I get on stage. And then by the time I get on stage, it's like, I'm just sitting, nope. I was trying to do a visual and then I fucked myself up. That's part of the comedy. Were all of these intentional? You don't know. Was the headset going out intentional? No, but it might have been. You don't know. No. But you know, like, I forgot. I lost my thing, man. But dude, I don't know. Comedy's fucking great, and I feel like I'm the asshole who knows, like, who will be like, if I know somebody funny, or I know, and like, try to do 5 minutes. Just get up on stage and do 5 minutes at least once and see what you think about it. If you don't fucking like it, you don't fucking like it, but you're never going to know until you try. Like, really? And it's just like, I don't know, but I'm just rambling at this point. Like, I'm fucking,
I got one question before we go. We about to hit the 40 minute mark.
Yes, sir.
What is up with all these comedian beefs going on? What's up with that? Like, even Ryan said, yeah, like, y'all got comedy beefs, like, other.
Oh, dude. So let me tell you, okay, this is actually what I'll say. Like, I don't know. Really, it's just, like, somebody coming in, they'll see you, and if they've got a spot, they think you're coming for their spot. And there's only so many spots to go around, you know? But, like, for me, like, I used to joke about it, like, with my buddies. Like, I got into comedy because I thought the music scene was gay as shit. I mean, or just, like, lame. I thought we can cut out the gay part. I thought it was lame. I thought the music scene's politics were lame as shit. I thought that it was so fucking, like, cringy as hell. Like, oh, but dude, I didn't know anything until I got into comedy. Like, holy cow. Just because with music, like I said before, you've got, like, groups. You've got, you know, you've got your pods. That's each band, you know? Or each individual performers, or whatever. Like, I guess the hip hop world would probably be kind of more similar to the comedy world. Like, and I feel like that's probably why hip hop and comedy kind of go side by side. But like with rock music, or like they're just the big band thing. Like, you've got, it's four of you against four other people. With comedy, it's me, and no matter how friendly I am with anybody else, no matter how friendly any other comic is with anybody else, every single person is competition, because there's only so many people booking shows. There's only so many spots on those shows. There's only so many mics in the state. There's only so many, you know, there's only so much room for anybody at any given time. And so you're just like out there, like, scrounging for scraps at first. And that's the part of the comedy career I'm in. And like, I've booked myself, I've, you know, buckled down, and I'm here for it. Like, that's really the thing. Like, damn it, I meandered again. What was the starting question again? How did the question start again? I can't remember.
What's up with all these comedian beefs?
Oh, like, beefs. Comedian beefs. Like, yeah. I just think, like, really, that's what it is. It's really, I think it's like the same thing that you would see in hip hop. Like, you know, somebody sees, like, somebody coming for their spot, and they're like, you're not going to fucking, it's like Drake and fucking Kendrick. Like, there you go. Yeah. Perfect example. Like, Kendrick has been coming up and coming up and coming up, and Drake's like, nah, he ain't shit, nah. Oh, he is good. Nah, you're good, but you ain't Drake. You know, like, it's that, really, it's just everybody in entertainment is a narcissist, and that's probably the longest and shortest, simplest, ample, like, answer you could get of it. Like, just, it's the, if you don't get into comedy unless you have some sort of narcissism, and narcissism creates beef, and, you know, I'm a vegan. not really. I'm not a vegan. I just don't I don't appreciate I have a thing where I like to be needed by I like to be liked by everybody. It's more of just a neediness thing. It's the other N word that a comedian struggle with. It's needy narcissist. That's the those are the words that could probably describe every single comedian out there. But then you will have these one guys who are like, man, I don't need this shit. I'm just doing this for fun. Like, but I think the beefs are all stupid. And I feel like they should all be squashed. That's the biggest thing. I feel like life is too short to be focused on being angry at somebody else who doesn't give a shit about you. You know, that's how I feel about it. Yeah.
Comedian beefs are kind of funny to me because I don't know if y'all really gonna like throw down. Are y'all really gonna fight?
No. I don't think so. No, every comedian's a pussy. Fuck it. No, I mean, I don't believe that. Yeah. I've seen some comedians. I know, like, there's enough ex-military guys around where I am. I'm from, so, you know, here in Fayetteville. So, like, who do comedy, or just here in North Carolina in general, there's enough, like, there's some guys who could throw down, and I believe they would. But for me, that's beef shit's not for me. I can't. It's too stressful. I've got enough going on with work, with worrying about getting to the next show. With any of that shit to be worried about if somebody's fucking angry at me. Like, I can't anymore. Or if just doesn't like me, not even angry, just doesn't like me for no reason. It's shit happens. I move on, you know, I don't care.
I definitely envy comedians, man. The first time I seen y'all White Rabbit, I was envying y'all. Cause I was just like, I take everything too serious in life. Serious in life, and I'm watching y'all guys. I'm like, damn, I envy these guys.
Dude, I do the same thing, honestly. Like, I take a lot of shit seriously, but when I'm being a goofball mode, you know, it's like the goblin mode thing. But for me, goblin mode is goofball mode, and when I'm in goofball mode, I can't turn it off until my time is up. And then this is why I figured out I had to start doing all my comedy schmoozing before shows were over, like before I go on, because after I'm off the stage, I'm a wet blanket to talk to. I'm shit. Like, it's awful because I don't drink anymore. So it's just like, God, if I was still drinking, man, I would not be able to do comedy because I would be blackout drunk at home. Holy shit. Yeah, man. But yeah. Do you fucking anything else? Anything else you wanted to ask? Anything else?
No, before we go, though, anything you want to shout out?
I got, like I said, I don't think I ever finished my plugs, actually. Fuck. Okay, so once again, this Saturday, Creedmoor, April the 6th, Creedmoor, North Carolina, going to be shit. Knowing the venue is important. I will know it for next time. White Rabbit on, not this coming Monday, but next Monday, I'm going to be hosting. The week after that, I'm going to be hosting Comedy and Cocktails at Patty's Pub, or the church at Patty's Pub. I apologize. I've been told to say it correctly. I'm doing a charity event on the 19th out in Charlotte, charity for a cause. It's for, a youth program kind of thing. It's a charity for that. And then on that's like I said, in Charlotte. And then on the 20th on 420, I'm going to be in Durham at the Meddlesome Theater for doing a show for Ashley Preston. Yeah, she booked me out there and for the 420 show. So, you know, I'm going to be high as shit trying to tell jokes out in Durham. And that one's in Durham. Yeah, in Durham for that last one. And then
owner passion time.
Oh yeah, you know, I've got to bust out the old Gandalf jokes. He's like, Flame of Uldun, I am a servant of a sacred fire. I shall not pass. You know, got to bust it all out for it. That's I was like, man, I've got a lot of pop material. She gave me like three different dates that I offer from. There was one in March, one in May, and then the one on 420. I was like, I need that 420 show. Can I please be on that 420 show? And she was like, yeah, cool. Fuck yeah. So I'm doing that one. Basically, I went from 0 to 100 just at the beginning of within the last week of the last month, like pretty much. Like, and it's been wild, man. It's been fucking nuts. But, fuck.
Yeah. Month is coming up month.
Oh yeah, fuck. Oh yeah, we're going to Wilmington tonight, and then I'm doing a Vault in Raleigh tomorrow night too. I forgot about that. Like, I'm driving out there for their open mic. That's a good open mic too. Like, there's just, dude, the comedy scene in North Carolina is so fucking expansive and beautiful. I love it so much. Like, I've met so many cool people, got to have so many cool conversations doing it. Like, and it's just like, it's just wild, man. I feel, I hate to say, like, I have barely made money off of comedy. I made probably like $80, you know, like, but I feel blessed. I'm getting to go out and just fucking fart around with my buddies, tell some jokes, and then come back home to my beautiful wife. Fuck my wife. You know, it's a fun time. It's a great time. Yeah. But anything else, man?
Nah, well, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'm coming
out to the White Rabbit as much as I can. You've never felt
okay,
me.
Yeah.
I've never like, seen like you bomb at all. So I haven't seen it.
Oh man, you weren't there on the rough nights at the Rabbit. Like there's nights where there's like three people there and it's like me trying to make them laugh. I'm like, nah, those are the nights where those jokes, you've never heard those jokes again. Like, then that's why. White Rabbit's home base for me, man. That's where I come and I do, that's where I get all my new shit out and I try it out for the first time, you know. But hey, come out this next Monday. I'll be hosting. So we'll see, you know, see how that goes.
I'm gonna be out there, man.
All right, man. All right, Brad. And appreciate you, man.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah. No problem, bro. No problem at all. Take it easy, man. Oh, God. Here we go.
Well, that was the all ever so funny John Paul Edmondson. I mean, every time I go to the White Rabbit, this dude is hilarious. He got the voices. You just heard the Gandalf voice. I mean, I can't do no Gandalf voice. I could do the Macho Man. That's about it. Oh, yeah, brother. The Macho Man, Randy Savage. And that's about it. Once again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. And we out.
Beats by Trill, straight killer, Ville, dog.